You could please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason, any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If there were all one body, where would the body be? Or one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much true that members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on those we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, so that members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body, the individually individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, their teachers, their miracles and gifts of healing, helps and ministrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts. And I will show you still in a more excellent way. In the 13, if I speak in tongues of men and angels but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. Amen. That's kind of long, but in light of Sunday, after preaching my message, I've actually been kind of still praying on it, ruminating on the message a little bit, because I've continually felt like God speaking the same word to me over the last few days. And even because I know on Wednesdays generally is where I preach for EMP, and so I've already been praying about, hey God, you know, what is it that you kind of want to say? And the entire time, you know, like Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, the word I keep getting is love, you know, like love. And I was like, God, what do you mean by love? It's like, what do you want me to preach on, you know, like love? And so as I was meditating on this word and kind of seeking God, I kept coming back to 1 Corinthians 13. But then as I was trying to understand 13, I really couldn't understand it unless I went to chapter 12. And because the beginning of 13, this talking about love, I know it's quoted a lot in terms of how we should love and what love is, but really when Paul is speaking in 1 Corinthians 13 about love being patient, kind, jealous, all these sort of things, he's really, in this context, speaking to spiritual gifts right after he was talking to the Church of Corinthians about what it means to be one body and whatnot. And so as I was meditating on it, and also in light of P. Nate's message yesterday morning, I felt like God wanted to speak some truth to all of us. And it starts actually in 1 Corinthians 12, where it talks about there are a variety of gifts, same Spirit, variety of ministries and the same Lord, variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. And I believe the truth that God wants to really speak out to the church, especially after that message on Sunday, and as I continue to ruminate over it, is I believe God wants us to realize that, well, I mean, all of us in this room and all of us listening, we're believers of Christ, right? And what Paul is saying is, as a believer of Christ, we have the Holy Spirit, right? Something that I want to make very clear is there's a small sector of the church that believes, it's a very small sector of the church that believes that, you know, not everyone has the Spirit or the power of the Spirit. But obviously, this is not true. Paul here is already talking about it's only by the Spirit of God that confesses Jesus is Lord. And so if you've confessed Jesus as Lord, you have the Holy Spirit. And so that Spirit that you have in you, the Spirit that's confessing that Spirit is God, is the same Spirit that does all of these things, whether it's prophecy, tongues, helps, miracles, all these things. And so the same Spirit that's in you is the same one that's in Cheon, that's the same one as in P. Sam, as in me, as in, you know, as in Jeff or Nate or Eugenia or whatever the case may be. It's the same Spirit in all Christians. And so we have to recognize that there's a truth that there's no, and this is what Nate was saying yesterday, there's no super Christian. There's really nobody that has a particular, you know, muscle in their body or something about them that makes them any more spiritual or better than anyone else. It's simply by the work of the Holy Spirit. But this is a truth we really need to get a grasp on. And let me explain to you why. It's because in the church, I believe there's a lie. There is something that the enemy wants to speak over the church, and specifically to the members of the church, to try to keep them being ineffective. You know, one of the things that that always stuck with me that P. Sam preached about one time is, as a people, Satan has really only a few things he's really trying to do. The first is this: he's trying to keep you from God. He wants to make sure that at the end of the life, you're joining him in hell. He wants to make sure that at the end of your life, that you do not accept Christ. However, if he fails at that, and you do accept Christ, and you end up having the Spirit with you and whatnot, the second goal that he's going to try to do is he's going to try to make you ineffective. Meaning that if he can't keep you from hell, he's going to try to make sure you don't bring anyone with you to heaven. And so one of the lies that the enemy speaks over the church, specifically to individual members, and especially this is why we need a good community, is you're ineffective. You can't do what your pastors do. You can't do what your leaders do. You can't prophesy. You can't speak in tongues. You can't do this. You can't do this. And part of the reason is because the enemy knows the moment the church has effectively accepted who they are, as not just as a church, but individually as members of the church, the enemy knows the power that can come in the unity of the church because we become the body that we're supposed to be. And let me explain to you how real this is. And I know I've kind of shared with you guys one of my gifts is in the prophetic, and some of them are in the prophetic. But do you know what I struggle with the most? I'm just going to be very honest with you guys, okay? I actually struggle with doubt and deceit the most. And let me explain to you what it is. Anytime there's a situation, maybe I have to preach or share on something, you know what's always the first thought that runs through my head is this, right? You don't have to spiritualize anything. Just give some good words of wisdom. You know, have a good teaching. Have them walk away with, you know, some good nuggets of wisdom. That's all you need to do. You know, Sunday worship, you don't need to give anything. You know, God just wants to preach, right? All these sort of things. And for me, I know it sounds like small things, but when one of your gifts is prophetic and you start believing in it, you know what happens? I stop giving anything prophetic. And let me give you a very real example is, you know, P. Sam, as he's going through EMPs, he goes through book by book, chapter by chapter and whatnot. And there was a point when I wanted to do that. I mean, firstly, because it was easy. It seemed easier, right? I don't really have to think about, you know, God, what are you trying to say? I can just, oh, yeah, you know, 1 Corinthians 12, tomorrow's 13, oh, yeah, the next day is 14. And so part of me, because I wanted to learn how to do it, part of me, I wanted to do it because I wanted to emulate PSAM. Part of me wanted to do it because it was easier and whatnot. And then it got to the point where every EMP I started preaching, I just kind of did it because I felt like, oh yeah, I found, you know, some good nuggets. I felt like I could do it. But then God gave me a rebuke because I felt like as I was doing it, I didn't really feel God's pleasure in my preaching. I didn't really feel like God was speaking through me the way he usually does. And I didn't understand what was going on until basically one day somebody, it was outside the church, and I was just talking to them. I was in a meeting with them, and they gave me a word. Basically, it was talking about, you know, the Psalm 20, verse 7, you know, some boast in horses, some in chariots, but some in, but we will boast in the name of the Lord. And she was talking, and she wasn't so much speaking into this, but the Spirit spoke into it, because she's saying, Ricky, I know you're really busy, but we all have our chariots. And so the moment she said that, God spoke to me, and she said this, right? And basically, Spirit says this, it's not so much that your chariot is your preaching or PSAM, but you are boasting in something that is not of me. You're doing things that are not because I've asked you to. You're making wisdom your chariot. You're making teaching your chariot. And instantly I realized, I basically had to repent. I was like, I'm sorry, God. Because everything I've been doing, you know, over those 2-3 weeks was basically on this, not saying there it's bad to speak from wisdom and teaching, but I wasn't working in the gifts that God had called me to do, and I felt like in many ways I wasn't being faithful to who God had made me to be. And so I really felt like I had to repent. And after I repented, it was like a night and day again. Everything became just so smooth again in terms of whether it was at SPU or even the Sunday, whatever the case may be, it just became easy. And so it's real. Like for me, it is so real. Even at the well, whatever the case may be, the first thing the enemy wants to do is to make me believe I'm not prophetic. Honestly, I say this to myself, and I know it may seem like, really, do you? But it's true. Sometimes I'm not really that prophetic. I don't really pray for people that well. You know, like, and I start believing in these things. And so as a church, you know, if we struggle with these, I'm not saying, you know, we're any better and whatnot, but trust me, we struggle with it. I struggle with it. I'm sure all of us struggle with it. But what Paul is basically saying is this, we have to make a choice as members of the church, right? We all have gifts. We all are within the church in our body. And the choice we have to make is this. Are we going to say we have no gifts? Are we going to say I'm unimportant to the church? Or are we going to make the choice to say I am important to the church? I do have gifts. I am a member of a body. I am able to serve it. My gifts are relevant to what God is doing in my community. Because as much as a good community is necessary, I mean, you know, the whole thing about the preaching, right? Without grace, there's no vulnerability. Without accountability, we can't grow. All these sort of things. We can set all this up. Say we have the best church in the world and we have all these things. If we don't make a personal choice to walk into it, nothing around us, no matter how good or bad, matters. It's almost like trying to help somebody who doesn't want to be helped, right? The easy example is one of my friends getting a divorce. I'm trying to speak into his life, all these sort of things, and they just don't want to hear it, right? And no matter how much truth there is in and around him, no matter how much truth his family speaks to him, all these sort of things, he just doesn't want it, right? He hasn't made the choice that he wants to try again. He just says, forget it, I'm done. And so the same way, we have to do the same thing. We have to make a choice, a very conscious choice to say, I believe that God is with me. I believe that God can and will work through me. And as such, I believe to inject myself into this body as a Spirit-filled member and to stop believing in the lies that God tells us, right? And to take every thought captive. This is the importance of recognizing what is not of you or what is of God and whatnot. It's just saying, no, that's not God. That's not true, right? Say, like me having to learn, you know, you're not prophetic. No, that's not God. You don't have this gift. No, that's not God, right? And I've fallen into it more times than I'd like to admit. But I understand, so it's a learning process. But it is a choice that we do have to learn to make. And so I believe that's part of the truth that I felt like God was speaking, something that he wanted to kind of make more clear is having a community is important. But what is your choice? You know, is your choice to be a part of this church in a way that is effective because you are made to be effective, because that is truth? Or are you going to choose to believe that you are ineffective? Are you going to choose to believe that you cannot compare to the people around you? Right? Because even in comparison, we're not trusting God. We're not trusting that he's made us to be effective members of the body. And so the first thing we do need to do is to make a choice. Now, the reason why I kind of talked about, went into 13 is this, is even though we make the choice now to say we're going to be effective members of the body, I recognize that there are times when God needs to activate gifts. There are times when, you know, those around us start to recognize our gifts and to kind of sow into us and whatnot. But say you're sitting there and you're saying, you know, I really don't know what my gifts are. Well, the beautiful thing is this, like Paul was saying at the end of chapter 12, right? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way. And then he goes into 13, which is love, right? Even if you don't know what your gifts are, we can still love. Even if you don't know how to prophesy, you can still love. Even if you don't know how to do whatever it is that, you know, those around you do that you feel like you can't do, you can still love. Because without love, even if you can do all those things, Paul's saying it's meaningless. They may even be annoying, like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. We can love. At the end of the day, we can love. We can be deliberate in our actions. We can be deliberate in our words. We can be deliberate in the way we treat each other, because we have an effect in each other. And the hope of that is, even outside of gifts, there is still a choice to love. And so if we are a member of this church, those are the two choices we have to make. If we don't make these choices, Satan's won. He has effectively nullified one of us as a member of the body, right? And it's Paul saying, if one of us suffers, all of us suffers. You know, even though Paul's talking about suffering, if I was to paraphrase from this and extrapolate a little bit, I would say this. If one member does not exercise the gift, their gifts, we all suffer. Because no one can do what God has made you as a member of this church to do. And so the body suffers. It's like we lack some important part, an important function of the body, which we otherwise would not have had, right? You know, and that's why Paul talks about the lesser members of the body, or the seemingly weaker members of the body, right? Intestines have no real fortitude to them. They have no bone structure to hold them up. They're out of the body, they're just going to lie flat and they're going to, right? There's really no strength in them. But without them, we'd be dead. We can't eat and all these sort of things. And that's why Paul talks about, you know, even the areas of the body we feel like are not strong, are not as visible, they're so important. Right, and so everyone in this church, if you're listening, if you consider this your church, you are important, right? And part of it is now believing, I am important, and making a choice. Even if you don't know how, God has told me I'm important, right? And to be humble enough to believe it, right? Humility is agreeing with God. I am important because God has said I am important. I'm gifted because God has said I am gifted. I'm able because God said, I am able. And even if I am not able, God can still work through me because his power is made perfect in weakness. And so why don't we close our eyes? And so let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Have we been accepting lies of the enemy? right? And I almost want to say, I don't want to over-spiritualize things, but it's true. There's a spiritual battle out there and in here. Have we been accepting the lies of the enemy that tell us we are not good enough? Have we been accepting these thoughts in our head that tell us we are incapable? Or lies that tell us we are unimportant? Or that this church doesn't care or what not? Because there is a truth that we need to believe. Much like when we made the decision to believe in Christ, right? There is a truth that there is a Son of God that died for us on the cross. There's also a truth to believe that we are able members of this body. And so if you have, it's okay. Right? The first step is just to repent. Say, God, I'm sorry I've agreed with the enemy. I repent, Lord, that I have chosen to not just believe, but to act in such a way that agrees with the enemy. And then just forget about it and say, God, help me. Help me choose to believe that I am all that you say that I am. And the second part I kind of want to feel like God is saying is this. Let's thank him for who we are. I'm not saying that we should be, you know, boastful. But we should be thankful. God, thank you for making me who I am. But to do it with humility in such a way that it's agreeing with God. Thank you that I get to serve the way that I serve. Not because I'm better than anyone else, but I recognize that it brings you pleasure and joy when I am me, when I am exercising my gifts, or the gifts you bestowed on me, because it brought you joy to do so. And so John Piper, right? God is most glorified when we're most satisfied in him. And so in that way, thank you, God, that I can be me. I don't need to be anyone else or compare myself with anyone else. I just need to be who you made me to be. So as Jeff leads us, let's praise God. God, thank you for this body. Thank you for me. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for your truth. Thank you that I get to be a part of this body.
I desire to be a blessing in your eyes. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you.
God to make us effective members of his body so that as a church we can be effective at bringing the gospel to the world. Let's pray. Lift up our community and those in our community suffer from cancer and cancer-related issues. Let's really pray for God's healing over them. Let's pray for their families. Let's pray for God to remove their suffering and to provide for them in all ways that they need. Let's pray.
Let's pray for those in a community whose family members are suffering from illnesses, but also in need of salvation. That's why we pray for His Spirit to open their hearts and to bring healing to their bodies. Those in our community in need of healing from non-cancer related issues. So we pray for them. Let's really pray for God to remove pain or inflammation, whatever the case is, and just for His hand to come and just touch them. Those in our community in need of work, let's really pray for God to lift them up. Let's pray for His favor over them, over their resumes, over phone calls, or over their interviews. Let's really pray that there's something about them that people want to hire. So let's really pray. Pray for China. Let's pray for our Beijing families. Pray for Hyunsu and Chloe. I pray that God continues to use them mightily as they settle into their new role. Let's pray for Jesse, who's actually currently in Canada right now. She's right now engaged. So let's really pray for God's wisdom. Let's pray that God brings her clarity in terms of the move and whatnot and what to do. And so let's really pray for her. Let's pray for the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, and the churches. Let's pray for all of them as they're ministering there as missionaries. Let's pray for a spiritual covering and protection, and just for blessing as well and fruitfulness from the works of their hands. Let's pray. Let's pray for P. Sam and Lisa and the family as they're in the States still. Let's pray for the rest of the board. Let's really pray for a covering over them. Let's pray for wisdom and just for God's anointing as they lead our, as they hear from God to lead our church. Thank you.
Let's pray for the hospitality ministries. Let's pray for welcoming barista. Let's pray for the leaders and pray for the ministers that are serving. Let's really pray for us as a church as a whole, that we can really become an extremely welcoming church, and that everyone in the body will take action to welcome those that are coming. Ministries, Yama and Yamama. Let's pray for the leaders, Tyler, Amanda, Tay, and Kenny. So we pray for God to really move through these groups, and for there to be men and women of God that really get discipled through these groups as well. So let's pray. He's actually feeling a little sick after a teaching class last night. So let's really lift him up, lift him and Monica up as PSAM's away. They're basically in charge of the church. And so let's really pray for God's anointing over them and just for his healing over Nate as well. Thank you, God, for this community of believers. Lord, I personally thank you, God, for this church. God, without this church, Father, there'd be no place for me, God, to grow, I feel like. And so thank you, Lord, that I get to be a part of this community. And I thank you, God, for everyone who comes to this church and calls this place their home. I pray for covering over them, Lord. I pray, God, that you will release them, God, from any lies of the enemy. That, God, you will start breaking off hooks, Lord, and deception, Lord, whatever the case may be. That, God, they can start seeing themselves, Lord, as not just members of the church, God, but saints, Lord, as those called, Father, to be an important member of this body. That, God, you'll speak truth into their lives, God, and to start bringing, Lord, people around them that can start teaching them, Lord, about their gifts, Lord, and whatnot. So, God, help us, Lord, as a body, Lord, to continue to become loving, Lord, encouraging to those around us, and to build a community of grace and of truth, God, so that we can grow to become the men and women of God, Lord, you've called us to be. So, God, I thank you, Lord, for everyone who's here, God, and listening. Lord, will you cover them? Father, will you protect them, Lord? Will you bless their hands, God, and the works of their hands, the relationships, God? Will you bring your favor over their lives, Lord? And, God, may they become the letters of God, Lord, that you have made them to be, so they can speak to the world, Father. So, Lord, bless them and keep them, Lord. We love you, God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Enjoy your time of prayer, guys, and we'll see you tomorrow.